Hello, this is Larry Clark, and I'm here with another episode of our From the Composers series. And today we're talking to composer John Pasternak. Hi, John. How's it going?
Great. How are you doing, Larry?
I'm doing great. So could you tell the listeners a little bit about how you got started and a little bit about your background in music and composition?
Sure. I've been teaching now for about 5 years. I've been composing now for about 15 years. I've been very fortunate to be involved in the commercial publishing industry now for about 3 years, and it's been an adventure ever since.
That's excellent. So tell me how you first got started in actually writing music.
One day, as a joke, my dad bought me a computer program that was like, I can't remember what it was called, but it was not Finale or Sibelius or anything that, you know, most people have heard of. And right. I just started doodling around in it, and I realized I was having the time of my life. From there, I think I bought Finale, and I just kept doodling. I had a community band job when I was a senior in high school, and I actually, we didn't have a budget to write music, and so there I was with, like, almost no knowledge, arranging, like, the 1812 Overture, and the Battle Hymn of the Republic for band. And I actually went back and looked at it, and some of those ranges were rather questionable.
Well, we all have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, it's true. I was going through it with a friend of mine. I was like, I can't believe I made the alto saxist play high D.
Well, you know, when you're first starting, you just write what you think will sound good. And, you know, not sometimes without the, you know, the knowledge, you just don't know.
Yeah. And you know, that came over time, even into college. Like, just because Finale or Sibelius will play that alto sax high D way above the staff just fine.
Right.
The human element, obviously, is different.
Yeah, I like to tell people there's a difference between real range and practical range.
Yes. Yes.
So obviously we're talking about some of your concert band music, but do you write anything other than concert band?
I primarily focus on concert band. I have a few chamber works and ensemble works, but mostly just concert band stuff.
Okay. And hoping to do some other things besides that in the future?
I really enjoy film work. I've done a few independent films over the years. And I truly just love writing film music. That's something I do enjoy doing.
So that might be an area you might pursue in the future.
Yes. Yes.
Awesome. That would be great. So your name on the big screen.
Talk about what
Star Wars 25, music by John Pasternak.
That would be the day, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We'd all love to do that.
Yes.
So, John, tell us if there's a way people can stay in contact with you. Do you have a website or Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, those sorts of things?
I do, and you can find the links to all of those on my website, www.johnpasternak.com.
Now, certainly we will put that information also in the podcast information for the folks listening to find as well. So what has been helpful to you as far as using, like, social media and websites with your interaction with people who actually play your music?
You know, I love when people contact me, and, you know, I get friend requests from people on Facebook that, you know, I played this tune by you and I loved it. You know, I try to look in the band director groups. I don't post much, but I definitely do look, and I see people posting about my stuff. The middle school band director group, I find a lot more people when they let us do that once a month advertising thing. And it's, you know, I'll do my shameless self plug there. And there's always some band directors that say, oh, I love this piece. And it's always heartwarming to hear.
Of course. I think every composer, you know, wants their music to be played and enjoyed.
Yes. And it's, you know, you'd be surprised. Sometimes it's just nice to hear that it's played.
Absolutely. I mean, we hope that we don't write these things in a vacuum and then they just disappear.
Yeah, and they don't sit on a shelf for forever and ever and ever.
Exactly. So talk to me a little bit about your process of composing. What's your setup like? You know, do you write on a schedule? Those sorts of things.
I once read a book and it was Composers on Composing for Band. And it was really interesting to me because I was still young in the composing world when I read it.
Right.
And I remember reading a few of them say, like, they can't compose unless, you know, they're in the mood to do it, because otherwise it'll sound like garbage. And mm-hmm. and I find as I get older that that's more and more true for me. That if I don't feel like I'm in the mood, I guess, then it won't sound good. Now there's
so you wait for some sort of inspiration or idea.
Yes, and
before you get
started. Now there's sometimes that I'll just sit down, and I won't say have an inspiration, but I'll feel like, man, I really want to write something today. And I'll just like. I guess like I don't know the right way to say it, like noodle out a tune, and then right. You know, I'll be really inspired by that.
Is it tune that's first usually in your?
Yeah, usually melody comes first. And I once had a professor that said, the melody is what matters most, in a way. Because mm-hmm. people don't sing the harmony walking down the hallway. You know, they don't whistle right. the mbup, 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 mbup. They whistle the melody. I mean, and that's what they want. That's what they right. remember. And, you know, my professor once said, you know you have a successful melody if someone whistles it on the way out of the rehearsal that day.
Yeah, my experience is I've often had band directors say, I hate you. I'm like, well, what do you mean? He's like, I hate you because you wrote this great tune and the kids will not stop playing it. I'm like, yes, yes.
That's how you know it's victory is yours.
Because obviously that's what, we want the music to be played, but we want students to enjoy doing it yeah. as well.
And as you said, it's the most important part is the fact that the student enjoy it. And you know, as you've asked in some of these questions, did the students learn something on top of enjoying it?
Right. Right.
And those are the...
Well, first and foremost, I would say, you know, obviously you're a composer, I'm a composer, but
yes.
We're also educators. So we want to teach students yes. through the music that we write. That's very important.
And, you know, at least most composers that I know, they're teachers as well. So like teaching is obviously very important to them. So they're in a way, not only giving you the gift of their music, they're trying to help, you know, help you be a teacher in some way, shape, or form.
So talk to me a little bit about writer's block. Do you have trouble with that? And if you do, what do you do to sort of overcome that?
Ways I can combat writer's block is I find I like being creative, but I have to not be creative in order to get that back. So like I'll do things that allow me to express my creativity, but like not create it to begin with. Like I like to build Legos. So I'm still doing something creative, but I'm not designing them. I'm following an instruction manual. If that makes sense.
Uh-huh. Well, so So in other words, you're just kind of getting away from actual writing of music and doing some other creative activities that might stimulate you. Do you find that actually listening to other music helps?
Sometimes what I'll do is then I'll sit down and I'll realize that I wrote somebody else's tune by accident. And
well, we're all overcome with so much music and there are only 12 notes. So it yes. is challenging.
So, you know, I do listen to a lot of other people's music. And, you know, Larry, I listen to your music all the time. I listen to all my colleagues' music. Thanks. I think, one, not only do I like to know what else other people are doing, but, you know, I like to know what my colleagues and close friends are doing. I like to talk to them about it. Like, why did they do that? So then right. maybe I'll use something similar in my writing. Like, I don't know how to give a good example of that. But, you know...
Well, I think we're all sort of an amalgamation of what we've listened to, what we get excited about, what gets us really charged up with music and little parts of pieces and whatever. And that sort of then becomes our signature, all those little pieces put together.
And I just always find I love to get feedback from everybody, because, you know, I can't think of every problem that's going to be faced. I can't think of every what would make it better all the time. And so I love hearing someone say, hey, why don't you try writing, you know, add the woodwinds in this passage. And I find that my writing only only gets better as a result of that.
Right. Excellent. So what's your favorite kind of music to listen to?
You know, I listen to classical music all the time and people judge me for that.
Why?
They say, you know, don't you like to get away from that? Like, don't you like to listen to some pop music? I can't tell you in the last 15 years when the last time I voluntarily listened to some pop music. I can't tell you a time I have. And I just love classical music. I'll listen to NPR when I need to get away from music.
Right.
Or, you know, mostly I just listen to classical stuff.
I don't see that as a bad thing.
Yeah. You know, Larry, hopefully we're not in the minority.
No, I mean, I definitely listen to a lot of everything. I have, you know, 5 kids. So, you know, there's a huge variety of music that goes around in my house and in my car. But but certainly I can't fault someone for saying I listen to classical music. I'm like, yeah, great.
I love it.
Do more of that.
I actually, in my spare time, I'm going to see Mahler 2. It's being done here in Cleveland in October. So I'm really excited about that.
Absolutely. Great piece. Yeah, Mahler's one of my favorites too.
Me too. Mahler and Shostakovich and Beethoven are my 3 top favorite composers to listen to.
Excellent. Any final words you'd like to share with your adoring fans?
You know, for the young composers out there, you know, just keep writing. You know, you gotta write and realize that first piece of music that you're writing may not be performed, and in the long run, that's probably best for you. And don't take it personal. You know, just go write it. My first piece of music was never performed. Thank God.
mine too.
Nobody wants to hear that. But you know, if I would have never have written it, I may not be here right now.
Well, I think you'll probably agree with this. It's, you know, you write for yourself first, and then if everybody else likes it, that's just sort of a happy coincidence.
Yeah, it's an added bonus.
Yeah, it really is. So, you know, if it feeds your creative need, great.
And for the teachers out there, now that I've kind of spoke to the students, for the teachers out there, I know there's days that are rough. There's days that are extremely tough in the profession. Just
certainly
remember, at the end of the day, it's about making kids love music. And it may not necessarily be the lesson of music, but it is about the lesson of making the kids better citizens. And we're lucky that in our profession that we get to be able to do that.
Right.
I always say that, you know, it's all about making the kids better citizens, and we're lucky. Our profession usually helps the most with that.
Yeah, we get to do it through actual teaching music, yes, which is awesome.
Yes, and it's kind of I wouldn't say easier for us, but we definitely have the more opportunities to do so.
Right. Well, John, it's been great to talk to you today. I thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
All right, that'll do it for another episode of From the Composer from Excelsior Music Publishing. Please visit our website for more information about John Pasternak and his music. And we'll be back in touch with another episode in the future. I'm Larry Clark. Thank you.